Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
So it feels like we only just did Army-Navy, and yet here it is, bowl season. Army has a bowl game this week. Everybody was like, after the Army-Navy game, the whole Astro football crew was like, okay, deep breath. That was a lot of season. And, you know, even the team went home for a couple of days. And, you know, here it is. We're back to a regular week. Army plays Saturday, despite it being a bowl game. Like, it's been crazy. And here we are. So I don't know how many folks are going to follow us over from the last show, but it's still me and Rob. We're going to bang out this preview. And yeah, that's our plan. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing well. I'm on the other side of the screen this time, so it looks different. But certainly glad to be here. Got a lot of ground to cover. I mean, we specifically focused on college football, but now we get to talk about the Army team. And yeah, looking forward to Saturday. I think this is, again, winnable contest. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, for sure. It's fascinating, not to jump too far ahead, but the UConn fans, like, the line has been steady moving in Army's direction ever since it was announced, but the UConn fans are extremely confident. So it should be a pretty interesting game. Anyway, yeah, for sure. Rob, we have a sponsor on this show, and her name is Jocelyn Bradley. Would you like to tell the fine folks about Jocelyn Bradley?
Yes, and it sounds like deja vu all over again. What's up, everyone? If you've listened to this show before, you know that we have a sponsor here. If you're PCSing to Fort Bragg, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn Bradley is a member of the Long Gray Line class of 2010. She served as a logistics officer in the Army, where she honed her passion for impacting people's lives. Now as a dedicated realtor, she brings the same commitment to helping you find your dream home. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service when she's working for you and a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, she has an extensive network of veteran realtors that spans across the country. So no matter where you're PCSing, you can get a recommendation. So, check them out. Like, Jocelyn makes recommendations at no cost, and she will connect you with a professional of integrity in your next market. As a proud supporter of Astro Football this season, Jocelyn is a realtor that you can trust to guide you into your home. Reach out today and let her make your next move effortless. Dano, back to you.
So I don't want to talk too much about the Army-Navy game because obviously the last 10 minutes of that game sucked a lot, and I don't think anybody wants to relive it. But I called this section in the outline Army-Navy recap, or what was this team's ceiling anyway? So it's like an episode of Bullwinkle. I don't know if you ever watched the Bullwinkle show, but they always had the, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's the second title. And I said that because I'm in the car driving back from Hartford Airport, and I spent 45 minutes talking to James. And we really, as we were discussing, like, the game and the season and everything, he really kind of pointed it out to me, you know, this team, what was their ceiling? Like, how good was this team ever going to be? Clearly, we saw a lot of winnable games just in the moment look like they were dropped. But and I will agree, you know, I wrote, and everybody seems to agree, that Army's second half offense has been like a struggle pretty much all season. But for those of you who think the coaching staff is stupid, like, newsflash, they're not stupid. So let's just talk about this a little bit, man. What do you think? Like, talk to me. What happened here?
Okay, so I think to the ceiling question, I think 8-5 was reasonable.
Okay,
this year, I think that was a reasonable season, and I think had some breaks gone our way, we probably could have been at 8-5. You know, 8-5 is reasonable, particularly seeing, you know, everything that happened, quarterback stuff, all those things. I ran into some recent graduates over the weekend, and we talked about it, and it was like, I think, you know, everybody's suspicions were pretty much the same, right? Like, hey, look, I think Ethan Washington was going in, coming out of camp. He was probably going to be the number one. Yep. You know, Dwayne Coleman was the number two. Not a bad thing. And then everything kind of got switched up after Ethan Washington got hurt. And I think that really kind of set the tone for it. But for me, the two biggest issues that I'll talk about, and this is, I'll get back on my side of the fence and talk defense a little bit. So the first part about it is, it's like, look, you have to have under 60 plays on defense, right? Period. You got to get off the field. In the games that Army won, they averaged 56.3 games or plays on the field, right? Those were the opposing team's total number of offensive plays. In the losses, you know, it's 69 and a half. So basically 70 plays. So if you let that happen, regardless of what team you are, and it could be Army, it could be Navy, it could be Ohio State. If you're letting the other team have 70 plus plays on you, you probably have lost the game. And that's just, it's just a, it's one of those hard facts of college football, right? Like you want to have less than 60 plays, especially like with tempo offenses, it's closer to 60. With running teams, it's closer to, you know, 50, 55. But if you're over 60 plays on the defensive side of the ball, more than likely you are either winning that game in overtime or you have lost it. And I think that's one of the things that, that has happened in that, you know, from a coaching perspective. And again, this is, it's a
brutal. We only know what we know, right? We're just sitting there watching.
We only know what we know, but when your team is 1-3, it's time for you to like dig into the freaking young guys, right? Like, hey, look, we're struggling to make things happen. So we're going to find whoever shows out and performs in practice this week is going to be the guy that we go with. Right. And I think there may have been some apprehension in doing that because of a level of trust, understanding of the playbook, understanding of the offense, those kind of things. But I, you know, in typical fashions, like, you know, especially a school like Army, like, hey, sorry, seniors, you know, we got to give some young guys a chance because y'all aren't getting it done. And then my last comment on this team this season, and this is what was the scariest thing for me, and I noted it and I've said it before, is the fact that like we are one of the premier leadership schools in the country, but we don't have an offensive captain. Like, to me, that is the most telling sign that there was going to be problems with the offense all year, was the fact that like, yeah, two defensive captains, nobody representing, you know, the senior class, the firsty class on the offense. When they're seniors on the offense, like even if the guy doesn't start, you know, like, hey, look, he's demonstrated enough leadership over his 4 years on the team. He's the guy, you know?
Yeah.
That tells me a lot. That means that the coaches had no faith in the dudes that are in the offensive locker room.
It's so my take on it, you know, I kind of broke this down in the article and I said, is this a thing of like, are we calling bad plays or are we making bad decision in the middle of the plays that are called? Like we're making the wrong reads or whatever, or physically are the players just not able to make it happen for whatever reason in the second half, because we're just running out of healthy bodies. And my sense is kind of like it's a mix mostly of 2 and 3. Like you can call any play you want. If you execute, the play is going to work.
Yeah.
But for the most part, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So I think this idea that we're calling the wrong plays, like that's my least favorite thing that Army fans say, because they, you know, theoretically they could call the fullback dive every single time. And if it was executed correctly, it would work at some level. So And I don't think that they ever replaced Kanye Udo last year, except briefly with Briggs Bartosz.
Yeah.
And then when Bartosz got hurt, like they tried a lot of different shit to make something happen at that, you know, running back, feature back position. And they never even had it, to the point where, you know, and even Carson Smith was hurt for the Army Navy game. So we get to the point where Samari Howard is taking inside handoffs in the Army Navy game, which kudos for them for trying something, but that was never plan A, right?
Yeah.
And I did find myself wondering how hurt Cale Helms was towards the end of the year, because the dude just looked like he couldn't make it happen on the field at times, late in games. And if I had to guess one thing, I would say, you know, they sort of ran that guy's wheels off early in the season and he just physically couldn't make some of those plays late. I mean, I really, that's not even him. You know, if they got to run him 41 times to win at K-State, guess what? You got to run 41 times to win at K-State. But they've got to find, I would say, biggest thing they got to do this offseason is figure out what they are doing at that running back position and how to take some of the load off these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because that is not the plan.
Look at it this way. And I did a deep dive during the season, and I'll probably have to write a little bit more about this, because God forbid I write about the offense. But the reality of it is
hey, wait. God forbid you write at all. How many articles do you have this year?
Like maybe two.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is for the offense, in the years that Jeff Monkins has had the most success at Army, he's had multiple dudes, you know, between that 700 and that 1,000-yard rushing, right?
Yeah.
So like Cale Helms, great. That's awesome that he did what he did this season. However, who was the other guy that was kind of taking up that slack in that other position on those inside runs, on those zone reads? Like, you know, we thought it was going to be Hayden Reed. Wasn't, you know, we thought it was going to be some of the other guys that were in that B back position and they didn't show up. I mean, like, yeah, Noah Short had, I think he's got, I want to say it's close to 1,000 yards all purpose this season, but you didn't have somebody to kind of offset in the running game. And because you are a running team, you know, it needs to be by committee. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like as much as, you know, as great as it is to see, you know, a guy get featured, you know, it's very, very difficult to maintain durability. And that's always been the discussion with the way that Army runs the offense, period, is like, hey, how is a guy going to survive? You know what I mean? Is he going to get nicked up on the way? Because, again, I can't recall an entire season from start to finish where an Army quarterback started every game injury free, you know, or close to injury free.
Yeah, for sure. Ahmad Bradshaw 2017, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know if he played every single game, but that was
probably the closest that we've had.
And he had four B-backs that they rotated through.
Yeah, and think about it. And that's why he was able to, like,
absolutely
stay as healthy as possible, is because, again, you have to have a committee where it's a committee of rushing quarterbacks, or it's a committee of B-backs, or it's a committee of split backs. You know, the more that you feed, you know, the more that you feed the rock to other people, plus it creates more opportunities for your offense. It's easy to scheme against the QB power. Yeah. Right. I just stack the box and dare you to throw. Right. And we saw that all season.
Absolutely. It's frustrating because I think if Bartosz and Smith had been able to stay healthy, you know, if Bartosz had played in the Army Navy game, I'm convinced that they win that game.
Yeah.
Convinced. 100%. Absolutely convinced. Because they got nothing from anybody in the running game at all, except for Helms.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they just needed more than that. And look what a difference he made in the Air Force game.
Yeah, so, for sure. For sure. Yeah,
anyway. All right. So let's sort of flush that. And, James put a flush sounder in here somewhere. I have no idea where that thing is, unfortunately. So we're not going to use the flush sounder. But let's talk a little bit about the Army-Navy experience, because I know people were excited for us to go down there. What was your favorite thing about the weekend overall?
Now, I really enjoyed Media Row. I mean, it was nice to put faces with names. And then it was nice seeing all the research that we did. Come to fruition in the interviews, because I think we actually, you know, our modest media shop put together some really good interviews. And I think, you know, by comparison to some of the sidebars that I heard and some of the other interviews that were happening, I think, you know, we had some really good interviews, and those will be closer to evergreen because we actually were talking to the people. We weren't talking specifically about the game. We talked about the experience of being at the Army Navy game, but we talked to get to know the guests that were on the show.
So I certainly hope that we get to do it again, because I felt like we learned a lot of lessons. You know, if you've listened to those interviews, and if you haven't listened to those interviews, please go back. You know, maybe not everyone is going to speak to every person, but we did 15 interviews. And, you know, just to take you guys behind the curtain a little bit, Rob put together 15 packets for every single person that we interviewed. And then Omar and I broke out questions based on Rob's research. And we didn't even get the names until like the Wednesday before we went down there. So we were very much doing this on the fly. We were typing up all these questions between interviews. Like, it was nuts. So it's part of the bad part about that is that we were trying to get everything set up like quickly, and we wound up using these lapel mics, and great in terms of being able to have a conversation, but really crappy in terms of being able to control the background noise. And I thought we'd be able to make better use of Podcastle AI's noise reduction feature, and that we just, you know, filter all that shit out after the fact. And I don't think that worked as well as we might have hoped. So next year, you know, dedicated mics and a soundboard, tripod with a ring light. I'm actually testing that out right now. If you're watching the show on YouTube, the internet connectivity was a little sketchy in there until we figured some stuff out. Like, there was a lot from a technical standpoint that I thought we could have improved, but
yeah, I agree.
But the experience itself was just peerless. And if we get to do it again, I would really like to take that second step, the plebe to yearling jump that Munkin always talks about. That's kind of where I find us. So,
yeah, and no, I think it was a great experience. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of work, you know, and I think it really showed the effort that we put in, you know, and being able to deep dive. And I'll tell you highlights for me. I thought Chad Steele was great. I thought that was great interview. That was really good. And then, you know, Omar and Rich DeMarco and Tom Perinetti were great. Those were awesome interviews. And like the audio came out much better. You know, again, I was banging my head against the wall late both nights to try and edit it. But the reality of it is like it turned out very well. The podcasts, I think, were better than the actual videos.
And really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that. I thought the videos came out a little better, but maybe that's just my own vanity.
Yeah. But I mean, all in all, though, I think, you know, there's acceptable content that you could hear what people were saying, and you got the point across. And I think we asked some good, solid questions. I thought it was a good representation of what we can do, and seeing that we're not, you know, a professional media team, and we were able to put together, you know, what we were able to put together by comparison to some of the guys that are a little bit more experienced at doing that.
So the one thing I will say on the professional media team is that ever since this thing, people have started talking to me about Astro football in the same way that they used to talk to me about my high school swimming career. Like, people have been super nice about it, to say the least. And you know, it reminds me of this thing when I was a couple of years ago, I had a boss, you know, one of the best engineers I've ever known. And, you know, I'm an electrical engineer, but I don't have an engineering degree. I just have a lot of experience in the field. And he finally told me, he's like, you need to think of yourself as an engineer. You're really good at this job. And I feel like I had that moment as a writer over Army Navy weekend. Like, people have just been saying stuff to me that made me feel better than I have ever felt about my own work. So that was really cool, and I was really happy about that. So, you know, thank you guys for following us and sort of going through this journey with us. I got a lot out of this. So anyway, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Speaking of taking stuff for what it's worth, Craig Oxane will help you save $1,300 on your mortgage. I don't know if that's a segue, but I am trying. Craig is the area sales manager for the Money Store. He's also a West Point graduate, class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to give you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can on a mortgage. And guys, the mortgage process is super confusing, right? Interest rates move all over the place. Like, you're trying to get your house inspected. You're trying to do all this stuff. You're hoping it appraises, trying to figure out when to lock in your rates. You would like to deal with somebody you can call on the phone and ask a question, or just whatever, like not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website, but an actual person. This is what Craig does, right? This is how the West Point network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man you need to meet when you're trying to buy a house. And guys, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a gigantic savings, like $1,300. Save yourself $1,300. I don't know what else to tell you. So Craig Oxane, he's the area sales manager for the Money Store. Check him out. His and Jocelyn's link are both on our website. They've got business cards. So does Greg Iannicelli. You know, click on those things. You'll be talking to those guys in a couple of hours. And I see that we have a couple of comments. And Rob needs to host the Segway AI for Deno. Yeah, he's not wrong about that. So anyway, Rob, tell us a little bit about the Fenway Bowl.
All right. The Fenway Bowl. So, hey, you know, Army's got a bowl game this weekend, if you didn't know that. And the Fenway Bowl, UConn comes into this week's game 9-3. They're one of the last true independents in college football. Their season became Exhibit A for why people said the Americans is better than the ACC this year. Played a tough Syracuse team, but lost a heartbreaker 20-27. Won at Boston College 38-23. Lost to overtime at Rice. Beat UAB 38-19. Beat Duke 37-34. I think that may have been their season's high point, was beating Duke, especially. Absolutely. And that win aged very, very well, seeing that Duke is the ACC champion, which still is a completely odd thing for me. That was one of the most attended games in years at UConn. They beat Air Force 26-16 after the Zoomies lost Liam Zarka, squeaked by FAU 48-45 to close the season 9-3. I mean, respectable season, right? And it's very, very hard, and it's hard to do, particularly as an independent, to put that together and one, win, but two, also maintain your schedule, because like I think that was one of the main reasons, and we talked about that with Theo about how Army kind of had to decide, you know, are we going to jump into a conference to maintain some semblance of a schedule, versus, you know, continue to shop around as an independent, because that's a tough thing to do. Notre Dame's able to do it because they're a much larger program. UConn, not the same size. And so it makes it a little bit more challenging. But the fact that they were able to piece together a solid, you know, 9-win season with a pretty tough schedule. I mean, like Syracuse and Duke are no joke. I mean, those are pretty high quality teams. And for you to come in and pull off, you know, some great games against those two teams is pretty important.
So just to talk about the transfer a little bit, opt-outs. Head coach Jim Mora went to Colorado State, which is still kind of a head-scratcher for me. Quarterback Joe Fagano says he's preparing for the NFL draft, which is also kind of a head-scratcher. I mean, Fagano getting drafted in the NFL? I don't know about that one. And then starting tackles, Ben Murawowski, I'm sure I've murdered that name, and Carsten Cassidy. So you're missing your coach. You're missing your quarterback. You're missing your two offensive tackles. However, future TCU offensive coordinator Gordon Samus will coach the team. He's done an excellent job getting the locker room to buy into the idea of earning that 10-win season in this bowl game. But he's done really very well. New head coach Jason Candle comes over from Toledo. Supposedly he's met the players, not actually coaching the game. I'm sure that's going to be awkward, you know, like when you're about to take command, but you're watching the other guy shoot gunnery or whatever. Wide receiver Skylar Bell, who is an excellent wide receiver, maybe the best player on the team. He is hitting the transfer portal, I believe, but he opted into the bowl game. Running back Cam Edwards, I want to say, is also leaving, but is definitely playing in the bowl game. And then all of the starting defense. So it's going to look mostly like UConn, save for the fact that they got a different quarterback and different tackles. So we'll see what that looks like. You know, for what it's worth, when Joe Fagano's in there, they ran a read option offense, and he was the team's second leading rusher by carries. Yeah. So now we've got quarterback Nick Evers, transfer out of Wisconsin. You know, he completed about 54% of his passes in 2024, had 80 carries for 3.1 yards per carry. So probably also going to run that same read option and carry the ball. Yeah. This year saw action against Central Connecticut and FIU, 10 of 15 passing for 105 yards and a touchdown. I don't know what you do with that. Cam Edwards, 199 carries, 1,100 yards, 5.7 yards per carry, 14 touchdowns. That dude is legit. He is so good. Pushed Rosas out of the rotation almost, which is incredible because that kid is really good too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then Skylar Bell, 101 catches, almost 1,300 yards, 13 touchdowns. These are the guys who do all the damage, like Edwards and Bell. Those are the two, right? They're doing most of the damage for this defense or for this offense. So if Army can slow down that running game, force Evers at the backup to make plays from the pocket, I think the Black Knights have an excellent chance to win this game. But if Bell gets going, Army is screwed. And one thing, these guys have been just great about ball security. One fumble and one pick all year. One each. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. All right, let's talk about the defense. As noted, most of UConn's starting defenses opted to play this week, even for the guys who have put their names in the transfer portal. I think most of them are probably destined to end up at Colorado State, which I still don't understand that. Well, yeah. I mean, for the players, it's probably a move up. For the coach, I think it's a lateral move, maybe. I don't know. Like, it's really, really tough to tell. It's a move up
if they're getting paid more, I guess.
Yeah.
The idea that Colorado State is a better program than UConn. UConn is one of the best academic schools in the country. Oh, by the way,
I mean, if you're trying to hit the slopes, man, maybe that's what it is. Is you're maybe they want to do better, different skiing. There's probably a different ski population in
West Coast versus East Coast. All right,
yeah, for sure. And so that's your battle right there. But most of the defense is coming back. UConn has the 114th rushing defense, which is not great, allowing 185.5 yards per game on 4.5 yards per carry. Most importantly, this game, they give up about 300 yards rushing against Rice, which is 5.4 yards per carry in that game. You'll remember that Rice now runs a version of the triple option, so that, you know, a good illusion for Army, you know, leads well. Linebackers Brian Parnum and Umar Diamande lead in tackles, 227 tackles total. Parham has 10.5 sacks. And this team is great on third down, right? They only allow 35% of third down conversions. They are also excellent in their turnover margin at plus 14. They have 11 picks and 5 fumble recovers this season. That's pretty impressive. Special teams. Look, like this dude – Their place kicker, Chris Freeman, is legit. He's 51 for 51 on points after touchdowns, and he's missed three field goals. Three field goals that he's missed is one at 30-plus and then two misses from 40-plus. Their punter, Connor Stutz, has a monster leg. He averaged 57.7 yards a punt against FAU. Like, that is gross. I mean, like, hey, guys, we do not want to turn this into a special teams duel because, like, in field position and long-range kicking, I mean, yes, Army's been doing great in those aspects, but, like, let's not turn it into a punt, pass, and kick competition because UConn is pretty doggone good.
Weather and betting. It's getting chilly out there. Like, it is winter in New England. Let me tell you, I'm coming to you live from Connecticut. Trust me, it's cold out there. So on Saturday, it's a couple of days away, but they're saying cloudy. The high in Boston on Saturday is supposed to be 32 degrees. Possible snow showers, up to an inch of snow. So potential snow game in a baseball stadium. Go figure. Betting line opened at Army plus 2.5. It's since slid to Army minus 8.5, which I think is absolutely insane. And you can actually get the Black Knights minus all the way up to 9.5, or you get plus 9.5 if you want to bet on the Huskies. Like, that's nuts. I hesitate to say this, but I would definitely take the Huskies to cover 9.5. I mean, you got to be kidding me, right? Over-under sits at 43.5, which I might take the under on that one. Who knows?
Yeah.
Rob, man, talk to me.
All right. So again, like I said earlier, this is a great way to end the season, right? It's a very winnable matchup, you know, and Army, like, this is their consolation prize, right? And I hate to say it that way, but, like, you didn't get the conference championship this year. You didn't get the CIC trophy. So bringing home a bowl trophy is, you know, in the tier of things that you can do at Army is, you know, it's probably a third tier, but given the way that the season has gone, that's probably the best thing for them is that they pull it off. On defense, Army needs to make sure that UConn gets behind the sticks and forces their guy who hasn't thrown much this season to throw, right? Because he may make a mistake. The weather is going to be bad, you know, so if it's going to be cold, hey, man, like, if you've ever had a football hit your hand at a high rate of speed, that's going to suck, right? So I think it'll be a legitimate contest in that respect. And then on the offensive side of the ball for Army, they just got to let it all hang out, man. Like, hey, if there is a play that you have not used in the playbook this season, pull it out. You know, like, hey, can I get a double pass or double reverse, whatever. Why? Because it's a bowl game. And at this point, you know, what's the worst that could happen? And I'm not saying that in the bad way, but it's like when you see teams that are reaching into their bag of tricks into the playoff games or into the bowl games, those matter. Because, again, if it's something that you haven't seen on film all season, you know, like, I only have so much time to prepare for a bowl game. And so those, you know, the Philly special may actually work, you know, in the bowl game. And so don't be afraid to open the playbook, I would say, because, again, like, it's the end of the year. Like, you're not going to commit anything on tape that you can't change next year.
That's a good point. I feel like Army has a decent chance to get out to an early lead just because we've seen that so much this season, especially if they can slow down UConn's running game early. I mean, how many times have we seen that? But honestly, tell me how Army's offense is going to look in the second half for this one, and I'll tell you who's going to win the game, because that is the story of this season. It's we've seen that in every game. How they play in the second half is 100% how this team is going to go. And, you know, the stuff going on with this team that doesn't always seem to function, doesn't always seem to be a function of their opponent. Excuse me. You know, how banged up is Cale Helms? Like, I don't know. I'm pretty interested to know that. You know, can we find a fullback to help balance the workload and keep UConn's defense honest? Like, we were just talking about that. But if they can do those things and keep Helms upright, then you know what? That's probably going to work. If they can't, they're screwed. I would definitely take UConn to cover, man. If Army wins, they're going to win a nail biter.
Oh, so yeah, for sure.
That's like, there's just no two ways about it. So
yeah.
Anyway,
like I said, it's gonna be cold. I think this is going to be a game that's going to be suited to the running game just because of the weather. You know, it's a baseball stadium, so the wind's going to swirl differently when it comes for, like, kicks and punts and everything else like that. So the best thing that you can do is keep the ball between the tackles as low as you can, you know, to prevent anything kooky happening. And if you don't believe that the wind is a factor, go back and watch the highlights of all the missed kicks in the Oklahoma or the Texas A&M Miami game. Again, if you're a kicker, you will get an ulcer because of the win, but like you could watch the kicks, you know, as they're leaving the kicker's foot looking perfect. And then when they get to, you know, altitude towards the uprights, the wind swirls and freaking blows it out of the H, you know, so it's going to be an interesting game. I think if you keep it on the ground and control the tempo, and like, again, you know, I think one of the other things that has to be a positive thought is 3.3 yards is okay. Right. Right. For Army, you don't need an explosive play. You don't need to have a 60-yard bomb. Like, hey, guess what? We ran a square out in the Navy game. That thing was awesome. Like, why?
It was awesome.
It got 5 yards. Like, yeah. Plays like that are useful, particularly when the weather is bad. So, you know, keep the high percentage stuff, you know, short throw, short runs.
Not to circle back, but I definitely felt in the second half of that Navy game, especially in the third quarter, they were trying to hit that infamous 14-point play and put the mids away, which I understand, but that was not the time and place.
No.
Anyway. All right, man. Last time this season.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Last week, I said Army throws 2 touchdown passes. They did not. We both said fact. Joe and Jordan said fiction. That was fiction. Rob, you said Army gets an interception against Navy. That was a fact. They got one plus a ton of fumbles. Everybody except Jordan said fact. Jordan and Cons both says Army blocked a kick, field goal, or a punt. That was fiction. Everybody but Joe said fact. I still think the Black Knights are due for a block.
Yeah.
Now, finally, the Firsty Club said Brady Anderson gets an explosive touchdown reception. He finished with 2 catches for 31 yards. I wouldn't necessarily call that explosive. Everybody said fiction. You know, what are you going to do this week? Rob, why don't you go first?
All right. So fact or fiction, Dwayne Coleman plays this week.
That's an interesting question. I was talking to Terry about this earlier today. Give me fiction, but I would not be surprised to see him play.
Yeah, I'm going to say fact. Hey, he's a senior. It's going into a bowl game. What do you got to lose? You know, even if you come in for a trick play, you know, like a goofy wildcat, you know, put in 2 quarterbacks. Hey, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like
absolutely.
Use all the goofy stuff. Like, it's a bowl game. Have fun. And maybe if you have fun, you can win the game.
That's true. And what do you lose by putting him in the game for a couple of plays?
Nothing.
So anyway, yeah. My fact or fiction, Army hits 300 yards rushing.
Oof.
I mean, they haven't done that a lot, but yeah. You would think if they're, and I don't know, maybe the weather is just going to suck and it's not even going to get close, but yeah, go for it.
Ooh, I'm going to say fiction and right in 255.
255. All right. Yeah. I will say fact. I don't know. I just have a feeling, man. You know, it's not a school week, which is a huge difference for the Army team because school at West Point is hard, which is not to say that school at UConn isn't hard, but I don't know how hard they push the football players, and not having to actually go to school at the same time you're playing football is a pretty substantial advantage, which is one of the reasons I think Army tends to play really well in bowl games. So yeah, we'll see.
That's fair.
I don't think we have any from the Firsty Club, so we will move on.
You've got mail.
So we got exactly one solicitation out of the Firsty Club for today's mailbag, and then that's fine. I don't need to do a really long show today for the bowl game, especially since it's the middle of Christmas. But just so you guys know, we solicit questions from the Firsty Club. Anybody can send us a question if you want to. Just email us or hit us up at Ask for Football. But anyway, Mike Davis says, obviously the season is a net negative because of losing to Navy. Objectively, though, outside of that Navy game result, do you see the season as a net positive, negative, neutral, or does the outcome of the bowl game factor into any of that for you? And Rob, I will let you start.
Yeah, for me, I think winning the bowl game is the only thing that somewhat salvages the season. I will say that will make it a, you know, it's under the bell curve of like not good or bad. It's just, it is, you know, it's kind of like normal. Like if you're 7-6, you know, that's a modest season. I think, again, it gets you closer to that preseason read of 8-5, which I think a lot of people thought that Army was going to go. So you have to get the win. And like I said, if you pick up a piece of hardware, even if it's a bowl trophy, better than nothing. You know, nobody likes to lose to the mids. I'm gonna start putting on a stipulation of Navy guys. Like, if you don't have a Navy cross or some type of valor award and you served in the Navy, you cannot talk shit to me about the Army Navy game, and that will shut up the vast majority of Navy people. You know, so I'm gonna put that qualifier out there from here on out, because there's a lot of people that are talking crap that you know, if we really went on Dark Heart Island, we could talk about a lot of things that have happened during the last war where, you know, Navy dudes screwed something up and Army guys had to go into harm's way to bail them out, further proving that, you know, one team, one fight, but somebody's always getting bailed out. And I will pause there.
So for what it's worth, I personally am now fully selling the idea that the season hinges on the Army-Navy game. I'm done with that forever. I hate that now. Yeah, Army-Navy's a big deal. Like, it's an important rivalry. I love the rivalry. I loved competing at Army-Navy. Like, that was – I lived for those meets. I loved it. But every game matters. And pretending that every game doesn't matter and that the whole season hinges on one game, like, that's just insane. The more we do this, the longer we do it, the more Army football I see, the less that I can buy into this idea that it's a one-game season. Like, I'm just not there. That's just not where I am. And this particular season started on freaking 2-10 watch, man. Wound up playing our third string quarterback. Couldn't keep a running back on the field. I mean, yes. Did they leave some wins on the table? Yes. I mean, after that FCS game, I think we all knew that this was a rebuilding season. Okay. But beat Kansas State, won at Air Force, handed UTSA their first ever conference loss in the Dome. Like, do not lose perspective as far as I'm concerned. Did they leave some wins on the table? Yes. Is there room for improvement? Of course there is. However, you just got to take the good with the bad, man, and don't, like, wrap your head around it. If they finish 7-6, that's going to be excellent considering where we started. Think about how you felt at the end of that Tarleton State game, thinking if we're going to finish 7-6 and actually get to a bowl game. Because, you know, honestly, my honest to God feeling about this is every game matters, and the most important game is the next game, the end.
Yeah. Well, and I think to your point, Dano, one of the things that, again, we get all up in our feelings about it, but the reality of it is watching, you know, this is the third time in, you know, a handful of years where Army has been 6-6 and they actually get a bowl game this year, you know, cause we've had it, you know, 2 years in a row where they had 6-6 record and they didn't get to go to a bowl. Right. So you have to be thankful for this opportunity to kind of break that 500, right? You could be 6-6 and sitting at home in December, and that helps. And that helps nothing. It doesn't help your program. It doesn't help your recruiting. It doesn't help your record. And so by being able to, you know, give yourself that one last presentation to a national audience and, you know, take home some hardware on top of that. I mean, it's kind of cool. Like, if you think about it, like last year, like the last three games of the season were for medal, right? Like, hey, look, we're putting something in the trophy case. So you won the American Conference Championship, didn't get the CIC trophy, but how awesome would that have been to win, you know, the conference, the CIC, and then you get the bowl game trophy too. Like, hey, that's pretty cool as a senior to pick up, you know, three pieces of hardware. And so that's the way that you have to look at it. You know, it's like every game is important, but particularly in the way that major college football is now, the more that we can showcase the talent of, you know, God forbid, service academies and independents, you know, and, you know, Navy and Air Force notwithstanding, but like, hey, the only time we don't want those guys to play well is when they play us, right? We want them to play well all the rest of the season. The reason why I say that is because you've got enough pundits out there that want to destroy, you know.
Yeah, that's the truth. Football,
right. So, like, you know.
They're already coming for us. We don't need to make it easier for them.
Let's not do that. So, like, hey, going to the bowl game, show out. You know.
Absolutely.
Win the damn thing. Put on a competitive contest where everybody's eyeballs are watching. And then guess what? Boston's going to be like, hell yeah, we want to host an Army game. Like, hey, we'll do a neutral site for you because you guys, you know, you bring your fans, you bring the energy, you bring all that stuff. And so I think that's the intangible piece is like, hey, look, everybody wants to be good neighbors, right? If you're not a good neighbor, nobody wants to invite you back over. So, you know, put your best foot forward and win the damn thing.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Warriors Fitness. Friends, there is a reason you do not need another workout. You need a coach who is an expert in fitness and proven protocols, and someone who has survived total mental and physical collapse himself and pulled himself out and rebuilt himself stronger and better than ever. Greg Iannaselli is a West Point graduate from the class of 1997, Army veteran, successful software sales executive, IFBB pro bodybuilder, NCI certified fitness coach, and now the founder of Warriors Physique Fitness. After losing everything, his marriage, his identity, his confidence, physical and mental health, Greg completely rebuilt himself from rock bottom through faith, discipline, and elite level training. At 50, he recently became the overall classic physique bodybuilding champion at the U.S. Masters Nationals in Las Vegas. He won the Natty Guys. He was the national champion, earned his IFBB pro card. He proved it was never too late to become the warrior that you're meant to be. Guys, Greg's mission today is to coach men who are struggling to stop drifting in decline and resurrect themselves physically, mentally, spiritually with his online coaching program. So if you are ready to reclaim your strength, your confidence, and your warrior ethos, apply now at warriorsphysique.com and start writing your own comeback story. And as a special note, Greg is offering all active duty military veterans and first responders a 15% discount off his 16-week transformation program fee. AFF First E Club members and or West Point grads get a massive 30% discount on that same fee. Guys, like all of our sponsors, Greg has a business card up on our website. Click on that. You'll be talking to him in a day or two. Get yourself back into your prime of your life. And I'm telling you, he's not looking for a million people. He's looking for like a couple of people who really want to work their asses off to get back to who they want to be. So it's a pretty interesting program. And if you guys are interested, I hope you will reach out and at least ask about what's going on. Because, you know, as he was talking to it to me, I thought it was pretty cool. So anyway. Rob, you got a favorite thing?
Yeah, it's Christmas, right? It's Christmas this week. So, you know, again, drink your spiked eggnog, plan to have those holiday festivities. We look forward to just having a break. Also, we got Christmas and then we got an Army football game on Saturday, right? So check it out. I know the team got to go home for a little bit, which is good. And always nice to get that recharge, you know, after the holidays. Teas are over. So really, it's just kind of prepping for the next thing. And hey, for all of you guys out there, you know, probably the next time we talk to you, it will be 2026, if you can believe it, both for the roundtable and the college and the Army football show. But good grief, like, enjoy your weekend. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Go Army. Beat UConn.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!